Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Come, let us adore him.
Come,
let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice.
Let us say together the psalm appointed today, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to know what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him, and his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord,
For with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
This time, I invite you to find your children if they're not watching along, and maybe invite them to this part. Not that this part is just for children, but it's especially for children. This is the godly play story of the faces of Easter. It's a story that is told in Lent in series. And since we are in the fifth Sunday of Lent, we will tell five parts of it today. And so we begin this journey with the color purple, which is a royal color. It's an important color. It tells us that something important is going to happen. In the very beginning of the journey, God came to Mary and told her that she was going to be the mother of God. Now listen to these words. Isn't it strange? God came to Mary and told her that she was going to be the mother of God. And then the Word of God was born, a wordless baby. And as that baby grew, it looked up into the face of the Mother Mary, and it could already see across there. And when he looked up into the face of the Father Joseph, he could already see the cross there too. And the Father Joseph and the Mother Mary, they kept the baby warm. They helped the baby to grow. And as the baby grew, he grew into a boy. And there was an occasion when that boy got to travel to the holy city, Jerusalem. He traveled there for a high holy day. And it wasn't just him. He went with his friends and his family, all the people from the village of Nazareth. And they made their way to that city. And he even visited the holy temple. Now, at the end of the celebration, all the people from Nazareth, they left through the high city gates back onto the road to Nazareth. And they got a little ways away when they realized that the boy Jesus was not there with them. They thought he was playing with some friends of his. Frantically, Mary and Joseph, they returned to the city. They looked through the dark and the narrow streets for him. They looked into the places they bought food. They even went to the places that they stayed. They could not find him. Finally, they went to the temple. And there he was. And he was talking to the chief priests and the elders and the rabbis. And they listened to him because he knew so much. And he listened to them because he wanted to know so much more. And that's when Mary and Joseph asked him that question that all parents ask and no children can answer. Why have you done this to me? And Jesus said something strange. He said, "Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" They didn't understand, but they would come to understand. The boy grew into a man. And when he was about 30, he went down to the Jordan River to where John was. Now, John was a wild man. You can just see some of his hair here. He wore camel's hair, and he ate locusts and honey. And Jesus waded out into the Jordan River to meet John face to face. And there he asked John, "Baptize me." And when John looked at Jesus, it was as if he was seeing Jesus for the very first time. He said, "Oh, wait, you're the one that we've all been waiting for, the Messiah, the Christ. You need to baptize me." "No," Jesus said, "it is written that you will come before me and make the way for me. Baptize me." And so Jesus went down, down into the dark, cold waters of chaos. And when he came back out into the light, some of the people there, they said that they saw a dove above him. And other people there said that there was a voice. And the voice said, "This is the one. Listen to him." And when this was over, Jesus cross that Jordan River into the desert because he had to learn what his work was going to be all about. And when he made his way into the desert, there was not a lot of food or water. He became hungry and thirsty. And it was in that hunger and thirst that he heard a voice say to him, "Turn these stones into bread, and you can eat them." And Jesus said, "No. To be fully human, we need a lot more than just bread to eat." So then it was like Jesus was on top of the temple, the very top pinnacle, looking down. And the voice said, "Why don't you just throw yourself down? And if you are really the Son of God, God will send his angels to protect you." "No," Jesus said, "we don't test God." And then all of a sudden, it was as if Jesus could see all the kingdoms and empires of the entire world. And the voice a third time said, "These can all be yours. You can be the king if you just bow down to me." "No," Jesus said, "I am going to be a king, but not that kind of king." And then the voice left him, and angels came and took care of him. And Jesus knew what his work was going to be all about. When Jesus crossed back from the desert over the Jordan into the cities and villages in Israel, he went out among the folks and realized what his work was. And his work was to be with people, especially people who were most needy and most alone. And he came close to those people. These were the people that nobody wanted to come close to. See how close he is coming to this blind man. He is putting his hands on his eyes. And when Jesus came close to people like this, they could see things that they had never seen before and do things that they had never done before. And Jesus also knew that part of his work was to teach people, and he used parables to teach people. And he went around doing that. And then he realized the time had come for his life to be a parable. And so he set his face and headed towards Jerusalem.
To our fathers,
to Abraham and his children.
the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through the Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "The illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Now when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, He was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. His hands and feet were bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, "Let us go to Judea again." But the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you want to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." May we always speak in the way that we pray and live in the way that we speak. Amen. So in seminary, there was no classes on streaming worship, not a single one. I would have taken that class. There was no classes on pandemics or outbreaks or anything of the like. And so I think I want to just confess to all of you who are gathered for this unordinary time, this inordinary time, that I am just as lost and confused as you are. And here we are in the season of Lent. I think if I had to do seminary all over again, I would have written my dissertation on the spirituality of memes. I mean that seriously, memes. Because in this pandemic, memes have become the salvation to the masses. I mean, the meme train has gone full force ahead, right? There are memes about everything, funny memes, sad memes, memes that make you think, memes that make you cry. I saw a meme recently, and it said, "This is the lentiest Lent I have ever lented." This is the lentiest Lent I've ever lented. I think several of my friends have shared that one. Thank you, liturgical nerds out there who have shared that meme. I think I laughed mightily when I saw that, and that was my first response to it. And as I come to think about that meme, it's taken on more seriousness for me. I remember identifying with that meme or feeling like it really sort of connected with my experience because early on in this whole thing, after having to sort of cancel our wedding, I went to Casey and our Lenten discipline together, because this is what you do as couples now. You do Lenten disciplines together. It's in the handbook. When you do Lenten disciplines together, the one that we decided on was no sugar. But I have 4 freezers full of pies that I've made for this wedding. So I just said to her, "Baby, can we eat these pies?" And of course, the answer to that was no. But I said, "But this is the lentiest Lent we have ever lented. Certainly, we can get past the pies." I wonder what this season of Lent is all about and what COVID-19 is teaching us about the season of Lent. I've seen a lot of folks move into really terrible ways of being in this time. I've seen people with fighting in grocery stores over things. I've seen people deriding and trying to blame this outbreak on various folks and portions of our population. I've seen people act very selfishly, but I've also seen a whole lot of wonderful compassion. And I think I've come to learn that Lent is all about the belief that the trail to the cross, that this time that we acknowledge that Jesus is on his way to the cross, is a mission of compassion. And that word compassion means to suffer with, to co-suffer, suffer alongside. And John, the Gospel of John, here in year A, we're getting liturgically nerdy here, here in year A, the lectionary gives us across these four Sundays, culminating in this Sunday, these motifs, these stories from the Gospel of John, where Jesus shows up in co-suffering with people. The first one was Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a person who was had a lot of authority and a lot of clout, and he shows up to Jesus at night sort of under a cloud of secrecy there so that people wouldn't know that he was going to see this rebellious character. And so Nicodemus shows up there, and Jesus empowers Nicodemus to be born again, to give himself permission to let go of all this prestige that he thinks he must hold on to, right? Jesus gives him that permission. Jesus comes to him in that suffering. Jesus meets him there in the dead of night, right? And the next story is the woman from Samaria. You remember her, and she had had so many hardships. She had the gospel said she had had many husbands, and the man she was living with now was not her husband. And that's not an indictment on her character. It's a confession of how difficult her life has been. And Jesus knows all this about her, knows her intimately, and empowers her to be the evangelist, right? That God shows up for folks. God showed up for her. Jesus showed up for her. And then there's the story last week that we didn't get because all of us missed church. Maybe some of us did. Of the blind man, right? Where Jesus touches this man born blind and empowers him to say, to see things that nobody else sees and to say the things that nobody else can say, right? To help other people to see. And then today, Jesus goes to meet Lazarus. And Jesus knows because the disciples are warning him, they know too. And the interesting, sort of curious thing about this story is that this is the moment, this thing that Jesus does in the Gospel of John, this is what leads to his arrest and crucifixion. And he knows that that will happen. And he shows up for Lazarus anyway. And the gospel tells us he does this to glorify God, right? And we all wonder, the question that we all have, I think the question that you have and I have and we have and all of us have is, why didn't Jesus just heal Lazarus from afar? Because I think, Robert thinks, that because the reason he did this is because death is a true part of our experience, right? And we have to know that even in that dark, horrible moment, right, even in the deaths of our lives, Jesus will show up. Lent is a season in which we recognize that in our brokenness and sinfulness and hurt and pain and misfortunes and disappointments, that God shows up, right? Through loved ones and casseroles and cards. And I've seen that happen. Just to name some of the ways that I've seen that happen recently. I'm also in a lot of bright lights here. Notice than this. So it doesn't feel like the dark season of Lent because of all the bright lights that are on me right now. So I've seen this happen. Recently, I took a run with a good friend of mine, dear, dear friend of mine. He's a hairdresser. He's contemplating having to let go of his small business and do something else because he's losing so much money. And he gets out of the car and we're about to go on this run and he's in tears. And I say, what's wrong? And he says, several of my clients have gotten together and they Venmo'd me. Is that the word Venmo? Venmo? This is the online money thing. Okay. They Venmo'd me enough money to make up for everything that I've lost so far. And God showed up. I was present both over the phone and actually in person as people died in our two churches. And I watched that even in the midst of all this, the families and friends and loved ones came to around those people in any way that they possibly could. They showed up via phone calls or cards or videos, sometimes in person, right? To give those people a lot of dignity in their death. And Mary Helton, who died at St. Albans, was 95. She had great, great grandchildren. She has great grandchildren who are getting married. And Carol Massey, who was this tennis pro, right? And her loved ones and friends showed up and gave those endings the dignity that they deserved. And with Mary, I was standing outside of her house with a group of people from St. Albans Church who sang to her daughter and her son-in-law, to Mary's daughter and son-in-law in this time, sang spirituals, right? And we said prayers. And that was a gift. And as we were singing, we had to stop for a moment because there was a bus. And this bus came up. It was a school bus. And we all looked at the school bus like, sure, the school's out, right? And the bus was beeping and beeping. And children came out and got lunches. So the school buses was delivering lunches. This is how I see God showing up in this time. I see a pizza place in North Chattanooga giving free food to kids who might not have enough food. In this time, which I think is dark and difficult and trying for all of us, right? Maybe it is an opportunity, maybe, just maybe, it's an opportunity for us to embrace the Lenten message. That is that God shows up even in these most difficult times, even at the risk of himself, Jesus goes to Bethany, even at the risk of ourselves, not physically, but virtually in many ways, we show up for each other in this time, and we can be inspired by that. And we can know that God is going to show up in that way for us. And I just think, I just wonder if a global pandemic means that on some level we can compassion, we can co-suffer with everybody, with all of humanity. When Jesus showed up to Nicodemus and Jesus showed up to the blind man and to the Samaritan woman and to Martha and Mary and Lazarus, when God showed up to those folks, it was with compassion. It was to show up in the darkest moments and their times of need, right? And that's what Lent is all about, that God suffers with us, that God experiences these things alongside us. And maybe, just maybe, we will be so inspired that we can do that work for each other. Amen.
Please join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I would just like to make a couple of announcements to our community that is listening at home. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for the gifts that we are here. We have Jeff over there out of camera, who is our technician making all this thing possible. We have Rachel lending her beautiful voice. We have Andy lending his musical talent. We have Gaines reading those prayers like a champ. So thank you. Thank you for your willingness to be here. And thank you for joining us. We're going to continue to do this. We know that there's going to be some hiccups and some challenges, and we invite you to make those things known to us. And if you're joining us today and you've never joined our community in another way, and this is the first time, at the very end of this presentation, there'll be a way for you to reach out to us. And if you are a guest, if you are joining us for the first time, I would invite you to reach out. And also, if you're joining us and you have something that you would like us to pray for or know about you, I invite you to reach out to us, to me by phone or by email. We would love to hear from you. Stay tuned for what we are going to continue doing these streams for Palm Sunday into Holy Week and Easter and into the Easter season. So please plan to join us for those. And again, thank you. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today, we especially pray for J.R., John and Joan, Marie, Jimmy, Martha, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, June, Michael, Pat, Alberta, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Joycey, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Hannah, Terry, Laura, Cameron, Daniel, Carol, Rosemary, Al, Jen, Jean, Jennifer, David, Dawn School, Hillcrest School, and the Community Food Pantry at St. Thaddeus.
We also remember in prayer Mary Helton and Carol Massey, who have died since we have gathered last. We pray for their families and those who love them well.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of thy faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry, they may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
And with our absent
sisters and brothers. Amen.